says not a fan, and the other is the outline for today, which is how God turns trials to gold. I just want to call your attention to this not a fan material, and you've already seen here this morning a glimpse of this movie. We're going to be using this six-part video curriculum for our small groups starting on March 4th, and I want to encourage you, this is the most challenging movie I have ever seen. It really makes me think about where I am with my walk with God. And I want to encourage you, if you're not involved in a small group, we have small group sign-up sheets in the back there. Please come talk to us. We want you to be a part of this video series because it will rock your world and it will change your life as it has mine. I'll let you read that on your own time. Here is the video that every cell group, small group leader has, all of the elders and myself. We have this video, and then some wonderful questions that will challenge us for all of our small groups. So I'm really excited about this. March 4th, we're going to be beginning this really powerful series. Now, if you wouldn't mind getting out your outline, we'll go to what we're talking about today. Don't you like that picture? A West Texas rancher struck it big. I mean, he had so much oil and he had just millions of dollars coming into his bank account. So he decided, I think I'm going to go buy the 10 ranches around me. And to honor those ranches, he decided to rename his ranch using their names. Now, I have to read this because it's long. So now his ranch is called Circle Q, Ramblin' Brook, Lazy H, Double Fork, Sleepy T, Triple O, Bent Arrow, Flying J, Rockin' Keg, Crooked Creek Ranch. A friend was really impressed. He said, "Man, I bet you inherited a lot of cattle." "Not really," he said. "Not many survived the branding." All Christians must face the branding in their lives. And what I'm talking about today is I'm talking about trials. And you're saying, you know, Chris, you talk a lot about trials. Do you know why I talk about it a lot? Because it is a continuous struggle we all have. There are many, many people in this room today that are struggling. They're going through trials. They're going through a divorce. They're going through, they're having problems with their health. And sometimes you just feel like the whole weight of the world is on your shoulders. Can you know what I'm talking about today? And you feel the trial that you're walking through. I've got some good news for you today. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, "I'm ready to hear some good news." Look at your neighbor and say, "I'm ready to hear some good news." Are you sure? Listen to these words from 1 Peter 1:6. "So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you have to endure many trials for a little while." Trials are temporary. That's the good news. They're not forever. There will be a better day. You will get through that divorce. You will get through that illness. You will get a job. You will survive if you allow God to walk with you. He will walk with you through your trial. What is the purpose of trials? A lot of people ask that. It's our proving ground, really, when it comes down to it. But I love this passage from 1 Peter 1:7. "These trials will show that your faith is genuine." Trials prove who we really are on the inside. They reveal our true character. He says, "It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold." So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. James 1 and verse 12, we've been looking at the book of James on Wednesday night in our group here, and we learned that trials, God will reward us for enduring through trials, for trusting Him through trials. So we can look at that and say, you know, how I respond to my trial matters to God, and it matters to us. Now, while some trials are consequences of poor choices, yes. You know, if you go rob a bank and you're in a jail cell with a really mean guy, that's not a trial. That's a consequence of a really bad choice that you made. Some trials are consequences of poor choices we made, but we should not see trials as God punishing us. A lot of people think that. Why is he punishing me? You saw that guy say that. Disciplining us, yes. Hebrews 12 talks about how God disciplines those he loves. He disciplines those that he cares about. When he sees us going in a wrong direction, he will try to get our attention, and often it's through a trial. So what is a trial? Well, in real simple terms, a trial is a painful circumstance allowed by God to change my conduct and my character. That's the part we struggle with. Why did God allows it? Yes, he does. And there's reasons, and we'll talk about that today. We're going to ask, why does God allow trials in our lives? Let's pray together today. Lord, I know there's a lot of hurt in this room right now, a lot of struggle, and a lot of pain. I know there's people here struggling with various issues in their lives, some that have been made public, some that have been not made public. But you know their hearts, Lord. You know every person in this room by name. You love them. You cherish them. You hold them close to your heart. And, Lord, you said in Psalm 34 that you are close to the brokenhearted. You are close to those who are struggling through trials. We ask you today, Lord, that you teach us how we can overcome our trials and walk through trials in our lives. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to return to 1 Peter 1:7. Notice the red part. Peter equates trials with the process of purifying gold. And I found some really interesting illustrations and understanding how the first century process of how they refined gold in the first century, it's going to be very enlightening to help us understand, to give us insights, how God uses trials in our lives. So there's a four-step process to refining gold, okay? And we're going to look at those one by one here. First of all, God allows trials in my life to burn away impurities. God allows trials in my life to burn away impurities. In the first century, when a goldsmith was making gold, he put it in the fire to burn away the impurities. The metals that were added would be burned away in the fire so that pure gold would be the result. His final product would be pure. You know, if something is pure, nothing else is added to it. And for a lot of us, we have impurities in our life, in our faith. What kind of impurities? Impurities are anything that is hindering us from having a close, vibrant relationship with God. In a nutshell, it's worldliness. 1 John 2 talks about worldliness being three things: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And that's a message in itself. But you understand, worldliness is where we don't need God. We got the world, and that's all we need. What are we reading? What are we watching on television? Can the Lord hang out with us as we surf the internet? What are we filling our minds with? Worldliness has a way of creeping into our world. One of the biggest areas of impurity in the church is sexual sin. 37% of husbands will cheat in marriage. 21% of wives will cheat. Studies have shown that the percentages of people committing adultery and having sex before marriage is not much different than that of the world. And that's a big problem. One of the reasons I believe that there is a problem of sexual sin in our culture and in the church especially is because of internet pornography. Did you know that 52% of professing Christian men are addicted to pornography? And I know you may not want to talk about this today, and you may think, you know, why are we talking about this in church? Church, if I can't talk about this in front of you, then there's a serious problem. We've got a problem in our culture today. We've got a huge problem with addiction. 52% of professing Christian men struggle, 20% of Christian women. And did you know that the largest and fastest growing group of internet pornography users is 12 to 17 years old? Pornography will not only destroy your marriage, it will consume your soul. And I think we have a divine right, an appointment, to share this publicly and say, church, we got to do something about this, and we got to address it. There's a powerful book by Stephen Gallagher called At the Altar of Sexual Idolatry. It is one of the finest books I've ever read on this topic. It's powerful. And if your family is interested in internet filters, and I would strongly encourage your family to have internet filters in your house. There's two good websites there, and they're on your outline there. A place called Safe Eyes and a place called Covenant Eyes. And this guy, Stephen Gallagher, has a really powerful ministry up in Pure Life Ministries up in Kentucky. And they've got a Christian treatment center. You can do it in home or you can do it there at the place. It's very, very good. There's lots of them available today. And the reason I address that is there is a problem today in our culture and in our churches that I think needs to be addressed. Trials come into our lives often because of impurities. Now, God's trying to get our attention, and He will use trials to burn away those impurities in our lives so that we repent and turn our hearts back to Him. Secondly, God allows trials in my life so that I could be more like Him. It's interesting, goldsmiths use today have a method for measuring the purity level in gold. You know, the price of gold is determined by its purity. You pay more for 24-karat gold than you do for 10-karat gold. But it was interesting, in the time of Jesus, they had an easier method. When the gold reached such a level of gloss that the goldsmith could see himself in the product, it was deemed a precious and valuable thing. So that, I find that very interesting, how trials and how God will use a trial to help us become more like Him, how that works. Because God's goal for us is Christ-likeness. That is His goal for us, to be like Him, to be like Jesus. The Spirit of God is that power God gives us to become like Jesus. Now, we all want to know Jesus better. But one way I don't think a lot of us have realized is that we get to know Jesus by suffering. Paul says, I want to know Christ. You can hear the passion in his heart. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings. You know, it's through trials we begin to understand how Jesus felt. You will have a Judas in your life. You will have a Peter in your life. You will have Pharisees, people that are constantly pointing the finger at you. And you will experience the sorrow and the struggles that Jesus struggled with as well. And we should rejoice in that moment because that is at the point we can get to know Jesus in a more intimate. And isn't it true? When you're going through a struggle or trial, that's when you feel closest to God. Tommy's going to sing a song right now called Refiner's Fire that's extremely beautiful. And I'll be back here in just a moment to finish up.
The song is Refiner's Fire, and the verse actually says, purify my heart, let me be as gold and precious silver. Purify my heart, let me be as gold, pure gold. And then another verse says, purify my heart, cleanse me from within, and make me holy. Purify my heart, cleanse me from my sin deep within. The word holy means set apart, to be set apart for God. So we're going to play this and sing along with the chorus here, Refiner's Fire.
Refiner's Fire, my heart's one desire is to be holy, set apart for choose to be.
God allows trials in my life to burn away impurities. God allows trials in my life to become more like Him. And third, He allows trials so that I will become more moldable in His hands. More moldable. It's interesting. In order to shape gold, it must be heated so that the goldsmith can hammer the soft metal into what he wants it to be. A cold gold nugget would break under a hammer, but one that is heated can be shaped. And like gold, Christians are best shaped when they are in the fire of a trial. How true that is. Sometimes God allows trials into our life because we're living in rebellion against Him. You know, we sing, "Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way," but we want to go our own way. And just like good old Jonah learned, you know, when you want to go your own way and do your own thing, God is calling you back to Himself, but we run in the other direction and we end up in a fish motel. And that fish motel comes in many shapes and forms. God has molded us for a specific purpose in His life, and that is to become like His Son. Jeremiah 18, verses 3 and 4, I love this passage. Jeremiah says, "So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hand, so the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him." Now, a few things I need to point out here. First, let's notice something. The pot he was shaping was marred. Now, it doesn't say the potter did it. It just says it was marred. And the clay was resisting the touch of the potter so that the original design became flawed. But notice what happens next. The potter does not give up. He does not throw it out and say, "Forget this thing." He starts over, and he molds, and he shapes. The potter doesn't give up on us. He keeps on molding us. He keeps on shaping us. You know, and I know a lot of us in this room, we feel like, you know, God just can't use my life. I've made too many mistakes. I've messed up too much. And we don't feel like we're useful to God. Let me tell you something. We are all a bunch of crack pots. Ain't nobody got it together here. Amen? We're all fragile. We're all brittle at times. But the only way the potter can hold us together is he's got to mold us again. And trials, sometimes God will allow those trials to come into our life because God is trying to get our attention about some things. Because He deeply, deeply loves us, and He wants us to trust Him. You know, with Israel, God used other nations to punish, to get their attention. In our case, God uses trials. So God allows trials in my life to burn away impurities, to help me become more like Jesus, to become more moldable in His hands. And lastly, He allows trials so it will give me a spirit of perseverance. Guess what? When a goldsmith begins to hammer away at gold that is heated, he knows he can't just heat it one time. It's going to have to be heated many, many, many times to be strong. And guess what that means? It means trials are not just one in our lives. There are many. James 1, verses 3 and 4, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Why is perseverance so necessary? Because we are in a marathon. It is not a 100-meter sprint. It is a marathon. And in marathon, endurance is the critical factor. It's an I'm not going to give up spirit. And God will use trials to help develop and strengthen our persevering spirit in us. And I want you to notice in verse 4, God is not so much concerned about our comfort as He is our character and our maturity. God wants us to grow up. And trials help us do that. Forrest Mill, how does God turn trials to gold? Not only will God take your trial and strengthen your faith, it will make you a stronger person. Because you will suddenly realize, man, if God brought me through this, He can bring me through that. And I've been through this with my wife, and we were struggling, and now we're okay. And you start seeing life from a different perspective, and you start seeing your trials as a good thing, not a bad thing, because God will use it, no matter how bad, to overcome the world. It's a beautiful story of a family. Marshall Shelley's the editor for Christianity Today magazine. It's very popular. Marshall tells the story of his miraculous birth of his son. He and his wife, Susan, found out, you know, they were pregnant, but they found out midway through the pregnancy that their child had an abnormal heart, and it would not survive the birth. So they prayed. They prayed and asked God to intervene. They prayed for a miracle. And then the day of the birth came, and their son was still alive. God is so good. As the child was born, Marshall said he looked at his child, and he saw, you know, the pink skin texture, and the chest was going up and down, breathing. Thank you, Lord, for the breath of life. And then the child died. 2 minutes after the birth, their son turned from pink to blue, and he died. The miracle of life followed by the mystery of death. And they believed since God had created the child, God allowed the death of the child as well. When the nurse asked the Shelleys if they had a name for the child, Susan said, Tobiah, which means God is good. God is good? What are you talking about? How could they say that? How could they believe such an unbelievable attribute of God when everything in that moment seemed to be proving the opposite? Because the Shelleys believed that God is good, not only when He makes sense to us, but even when He doesn't. God is good. Whether I'm having a good day or a bad day, God is good. Goodness is a part of His character, and the Shelleys believed this. And listen to what he writes. The name Tobiah was what we believed, not what we felt. See? Faith is a response. It's an action. It's not a feeling. It's a response. It was what we wanted to feel again someday. God understands that kind of pain. God lost His son. But the good news for the Shelleys is that they will see that child again. Face to face. See that child again. Because God is good. I got to remind you of something. You know, this life is not all there is. This is not our home. You know, and if God doesn't, nothing more for me than forgive me and give me eternal life, He's done far too much already. Because I don't deserve forgiveness, I don't deserve eternal life, and I don't deserve a life free from suffering. because I'm following a crucified Savior. Forgiveness, eternal life, man, we should be the happiest people on this planet. But you know, we walk around with our heads hung low, defeated, depressed, you know, complaining and grumbling and looking like everybody else in the world. And why would anybody want to become a Christian? Some of us make Jesus look so bad by complaining and grumbling and looking like the world, looking no different than the world. How do we respond to our trial? We allow God to use it, and we say, Lord, as James 1:5 said, give me a spirit of wisdom as I walk through this trial, Lord. Help me see your perspective. I don't understand what's going on, this chaos in my life right now, but I trust you. I know you're walking with me. I know you're not going to leave me, and I need you right now, and I'm going to trust you even though I don't understand. That is the proper response to trials, and God will turn those trials to gold. You will be a threat to the kingdom of hell, and you will be a stronger believer as a result. And guess what? You can minister to others who are going through the very same thing. Allow God to use your trial. Allow God to use your cancer. Allow God to use your divorce. Allow Him to use your loss, your tragedy, whatever. Let the world see, I am not going to give up on my faith. I am not going to give up on my God. People are watching us and how we respond to our trials. And we make our greatest statement of faith during a trial to the unbelievers that we work with, to the neighbor that laughs in our faith, to our family that says, I don't know about this God stuff. People will see Christ in you when you respond to your trial. God allows trials in my life to burn away impurities. God allows trials in my life to be more like Jesus, to be more moldable to His will and to His purposes, and to give me a spirit of perseverance. Today, as we close, I know a lot of you are in the midst of a trial right now, and I know you're struggling. And I want you to know that you got a family, like Morris said at the beginning. It's a beautiful story in Exodus 17 of Aaron and Moses praying and lifting their hands up. Remember, Moses held the staff and his arms got so tired as Joshua was fighting the Amalekites. Every time he went down, the Amalekites started winning. Every time he lifted up, they were winning. And just like Joshua had his intercessor, you have an intercessor today. We will be your Moses and Aaron today and pray for you. Whatever trial, whatever struggle you're having, we just want to lift you up before the Father. And maybe today you just need to respond publicly to your faith that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to put Him on in baptism. Whatever your need is, won't you come as we stand and sing.
Spirit of the living God.